Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
You always won every time you place the bet.
In the news for this Thursday, what can knock Democrats off message just 33 days until an election? Fellow Dems whining to the New York Times, of course. That message that Democrats should be on about Republicans attacking women's health rights was echoed by our own Kristen Lierley at the White House this week. Kristen also interviewed two more women about their races for seats in the legislature. Too many candidates and causes still can't quit trying to relive 2020. And coming up, Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil. This is Up North News for Thursday, October 6th. I'm Pat Kreitlow. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, radio at upnorthnewswi.com or 715-388-7155. Well, I see the New York Times has reached its natural state, Democrats in disarray. This time it's the Wisconsin edition. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. First off, because it only feeds a phony narrative and it fulfills the goal of knocking progressives off their message. And also because it's not the content of the complaining that I care to spend any time on whatsoever. So here's kind of the recap. And take it from me, I have personal experience here. Every candidate faces a peanut gallery saying variations of the following. The candidate I'm supporting isn't raising enough money. The candidate I'm supporting isn't spending enough money. The candidate I'm supporting is spending money wrong. The candidate's message is too soft. The candidate's message is too negative. The candidate isn't going to the places I think she or he could go. The candidate's allies in Washington aren't raising or spending money the way I think it should be done. And so on and so on. And if these people have the comfort level to tell their gripes to a reporter from the New York Times, I'm talking to you, Tom Nelson, then these armchair quarterbacks are simply telling on themselves. See, here's the thing. Every minute spent talking trash publicly about your own candidate is a minute you're not taking to talk with something voters actually want to hear about. Every moment spent griping that Mandela Barnes didn't go to such and such an event is a moment lost when you could be talking about how Ron Johnson could help rig the next presidential election if he wins this November. Every moment spent trashing the DCCC for not helping Brad Paff is a moment that's lost to remind a passive voter that Derek Van Orden, who was at the insurrection, will vote against every idea that can help small businesses in his district, claiming it's because of the budget, but he'll happily support breaking the bank in tax cuts for the super wealthy. Every moment spent speculating on outsiders' money is a moment lost to shout from your virtual rooftop that Wisconsinites can rise above what is the ugliest, most racist campaign tone seen here in our lifetimes. And if you're in a position to talk publicly about politics, you're what the kids call an influencer, and you need to recognize the power of your words. And you, listening to this program, you smart people, you, are already head and shoulders above your friends and family when it comes to caring about who's elected and what they stand for. And it doesn't mean they're wrong not to pay as much attention to politics. They have jobs. They have other interests. But they're still getting exposed repeatedly to political ads anyway, and they depend on you and whether you're giving them good information that can help them in the voting booth. It also means that we have to remember the name of the game. It's not persuasion. It's affirmation. I'll illustrate with a quick story. Tommy Thompson has told this story publicly before. I heard it in Wausau that in 2016, early summer, he was on the phone with Trump or a staffer talking about whether Trump should come to Wisconsin. He said, no, Hillary Clinton has the state locked up. Fast forward to just past Labor Day. And Tommy says he's in the car for a trip up north and is blown away by all the Trump signs. So he calls Trump up and says, you need to get out here. And we saw how, because of the signs and the visits and other things, it made a narrow but winning difference. My point here isn't about the signs themselves or the visits. It's about affirmation. Every neighbor who saw a sign or talked to someone they respected got a dose of affirmation. Oh, I guess Trump isn't that bad if this person is supporting him. There is no affirmation value when you see someone you respect second guessing or trash talking when there remains a seemingly infinite amount of time to either influence an undecided voter or say something that causes someone to decide they won't bother to be a voter in November. So whether it's visual or vocal, affirmation is what voters are searching for in these divisive times. Thankfully, most of them don't read the New York Times. They don't have time for that. And we don't have time to waste speaking to fellow insiders through the media to show how smart we are. We don't have time to do anything other than talk about what it is the voters want to hear. And hopefully that's as much time as you need to spend with Democrats in disarray. Because again, there's work to do. Votes are being cast as we speak. You can be an early voter right now, or you can make a plan to make sure that you have time to vote coming up on November 8th. If you'd like more from Up North News, you can get our daily newsletter. Sign up on our website, upnorthnewswi.com, or search for us on social media. Search for Up North News WI. Don't forget the WI. And we're on all the major platforms. Coming up next, Kia Vakil, national correspondent for Courier Newsroom. We'll talk about what's happening across the rest of the country right after this break. You're Up North. We're going to talk to our favorite Philadelphia sports fan, Kia Vakil, in just a moment. But first, a reminder, the Senate debate tomorrow night between Senator Ron Johnson and Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, the first of two debates between them. 7 o'clock tomorrow night on dozens of Wisconsin TV and radio stations and live streams. If it's a TV station, be sure you pay attention. It might be on their main channel. It might be on one of their digital channels that you have to dial up or hopefully your cable system carries. Also on C-SPAN and Wisconsin Eye. It's a one-hour debate with six reporters. So I've told the story once before of the drinking game that played out when I was on one of these Senate debate panels. I'm sure that might come up once or twice more before all the debate season is over. But Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil joins us from Los Angeles right now by way of Philly. So good week for you, bad week for me, but well, congratulations. Your team hasn't been to the playoffs for a little while.
Thank you. Yeah, the last time they made it, I was in college. I am quite clearly no longer in college. So it's been more than a decade. So it's, you know, it's exciting. So we'll see. You know, if they can do anything about the juggernaut that is the Dodgers. So
I was going to say, I don't have the brackets in front of me. Who did you get?
I don't know. Probably. But I think they have to win. I think that's who they would play in the first round if they got, I don't know. Either way, they would have to beat them at some point, and that's not happening.
Okay. Sounds good. Now I'm curious. No, it's the Cardinals, actually. So it's three games in St. Louis for this new incarnation of the baseball postseason. The wild card is no longer a single game elimination. It's now three games, but all three games are played at the higher seed. So it's like the Phillies are in a three-game road series at Busch Stadium, and then the winner of that series goes on to face the Atlanta Braves. But yeah, whether it's the Dodgers, the Braves, I would not rule out the Mets yet either. There's just been a lot of good baseball. And I got to tip my cap to Philly for coming out ahead of this, given how competitive the Brewers tried to make it.
Yeah. It came down, I mean, quite literally to the last week, obviously. It's an election year. So I forgot that there was a new format.
That's we will excuse you for. Stop trying to suck up to our coworkers. Yes, we know you pay attention to politics and news and have no time for frivolity like baseball. We get it. You're good. You're good at your job. Let's turn to that job now and talk about some of the things that you have been covering for Up North News nationally, along with we talked earlier this morning with Kyle Kaminsky from the Gander over in Michigan. We're talking to Cam Stevenson tomorrow in Arizona. We're going to talk to somebody from the Keystone in Pennsylvania next week. And so I wanted to start as I have before about whether there was any, were there any common themes that kind of wove through, you know, election developments around the country this week? And if not, then were there one or two other things that stood out to you?
Yeah, I'd say it expands past just this week, but something I'm sure, you know, you've definitely seen it. I'm sure a lot of your audience has seen it if they live in Wisconsin, you know, the barrage of ads about crime and trying to fearmonger about crime. And, you know, specifically Ron Johnson trying to make Mandela Barnes seem like the scariest candidate that's ever existed. That's happening in Pennsylvania, too. You know, Dr. Oz is trying to paint John Fetterman as, you know, really, really dangerous. And to be clear, these ads are largely misleading. They take the positions that are, you know, considered supportive of criminal justice reform in a country that incarcerates millions of people and blames the pandemic era increase in crime on those positions that have very little actual impact because they're not in place yet. What Barnes and Fetterman, you know, have talked about. But crime went up everywhere in the country. So people are understandably afraid of it. You know, people want their families to be safe. You know, I want me and my girlfriend to be safe. I would be terrified if there was, you know, violent crime right outside my front door. But, you know, that's not any one candidate's fault. And these ads really seek to try to shift the conversation away from other important issues like inflation or abortion or, you know, climate change or healthcare to talk about something and try to blame just Mandela or just John Fetterman. And it's happening other places too, but those are the two places I've specifically covered it. And they've been depressingly effective. You know, you've seen Mandela Barnes's polling numbers plummet because of, they've run, I think, eight different ads across Wisconsin that I've found, and probably more on the radio and online, that are just really, in many cases, just blatantly racist as well. So this is what Republicans do come every October. It's either crime or immigration. But, you know, it's incumbent on me as a reporter to remind voters that this happens every 2 years, this fear mongering, and it's to distract, you know, from Ron Johnson opposing health care, opposing abortion, opposing gun safety laws, which are the main weapon used in crimes. So
I have to tell you, I don't know if I have it in front of me here. I here it is.
I was on Heartland Signal Radio, WCPT, in Chicago earlier this week with Joan Esposito. When you started to talk about the other things that could be talked about with Ron Johnson, I filled an entire sheet just with all the, you know, everything from, you know, January 6th to, you know, naming post offices, to having a fake elector on staff, on his staff, to almost carrying a fraudulent ballot to Mike Pence on January 6th, advocating for taking over the Wisconsin Elections Commission, not fighting for jobs in Oshkosh. These are all valid issues that could come up. But again, when you've got literal billionaires bankrolling ads, you can make those as ugly as you want. And because we allow now unlimited funds in this country to come into politics, they can't help but be effective. And that's what you're finding here.
Yeah. I mean, if I did not work in politics, did not follow politics, and all I saw really were those ads, I would be affected by them. They're persuasive because they prey on your vulnerability as a human and your desire to be safe and keep your family safe. But they are lies and they're propaganda. And, you know, that's not to say crime isn't an issue. It quite clearly is. But, you know, just because a TV commercial tells you that, you know, they're very clever because they distort everything to make it seem like, you know, the uptick in murders in Milwaukee is somehow related to Mandela Barnes. And it's just not. And, you know, like you mentioned, those billionaires, the, you know, Diane Hendricks, the Uline family, Uline, I might be getting the pronunciation wrong, but
they call the company Uline because it looks like it. Name is actually pronounced Eline, but it's pretty acceptable if, you know, people understand if you go either way, which is actually it's tied to the old Schlitz brewery. There was a family that married in there somehow. So when you think Schlitz beer, which was legendary in Milwaukee, you get to the Eline family, most of them solid Republican donors, but then there's one sibling, they're all elderly now, Line Eline, who is a major progressive donor. But it just tells you the amount of money that was involved in beer back in the day. And the same goes, frankly, for the Bradley Foundation. There was Alan Bradley, a major factory here in Milwaukee. much of it is overseas now, but all of that money has gone into a foundation that now is it dwarfs the Koch brothers in terms of their influence. So we've got more than, you know, enough money here to spread around. But unfortunately, like you said, between the Elions and Diane Hendricks from ABC Supply in Beloit, where they're putting that money right now is in some pretty nasty ads.
Yeah. I mean, I watched them all back to back the other day, and it's insane is like the only word for how those ads are. And the worst one, the one that's like clearly the most cartoonish and exaggerated, is funded by Wisconsin Truth Pack, which is funded by Diane Hendricks and the Elines. And they are the people who Ron Johnson secured a massive $79 million tax cut for in the 2017 Trump tax cut. They saved $79 million, those three people, Dick and Elizabeth, Uline and Diane Hendricks, in 2018 alone. So at this point, it's probably four or five times that. And so now, I mean, this is what people hate about politics, is a candidate helps a tax cut for his billionaire donors. They help get him reelected by fear-mongering about his, you know, liberal to progressive Democratic opponent who actually supports things that would help working people, like raising the minimum wage, lowering the Medicare eligibility age, expanding childcare for, you know, families who can't afford it. And this is, our politics are really ugly. And it's because these billionaires, like you said, have so much influence.
But to bring it back to crime for a second, the other thing that stands out, and please tell me if you've seen anything that counters this, is that there's no proposed solution. It's scare people. But I mean, honestly, Kia, I'm not even hearing the lock them up, you know, thing anymore. I'm not hearing any solutions. And when we talked to Kyle Kaminsky in Michigan last hour about why the Democratic incumbent Gretchen Whitmer is doing so well in her race, his view was it's because the Republicans, they're still busy relitigating pandemic shutdowns and talking about crime, and that they're not actually proposing anything to the voters. So that's what I'm seeing in Wisconsin. I'm hearing in Michigan. Is there some great Republican crime proposal that I'm missing?
No. And that's because they have no proposals on anything that would actually address real issues. They have, their entire solution to immigration is to build a nonsensical wall that's not possible and would not, we've quite clearly seen the parts they have built, not that effective. And also just wrong morally, you know. And then, you know, they talk about their plan, the plan released the other, you can't even call it a plan, it's a bunch of buzzwords. And, you know, they don't have plans. They just want to scare people into voting for them and then use these things as a political weapon every couple of years. You know, for the longest time, there was some people who thought, you know, oh, Republicans will never actually repeal Roe because it's such a potent electoral weapon. In this case, they actually did. And now the backlash is so severe because every time they actually do anything tangible, it's deeply unpopular. I can't think about, I don't know what the last thing, tangible thing they passed as a law that was popular.
I would dare say, and I'm not trying to be flippant when I say this, the Americans with Disabilities Act, you know, passed by George H.W. Bush is the, you know, there's probably, again, feel free to correct me, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. But when I think of a Republican proposal that was universally praised, you know, for its passage, I don't know if there's been anything recent.
No, I mean, because the Trump era was just the tax cut. You go back to, I mean, I was in elementary.
Oh, no, every week was infrastructure week, remember?
Yeah, and I was, you know, admittedly in high school and elementary school, in middle school for the Bush era. But, you know, obviously he had that upswell of support after 9/11, understandably. You know, they passed the Patriot Act and some other things that have not aged as well. Yeah, and, you know, to your point, you know, what are the solutions? Solving crime, addressing crime is a really complicated issue. It's not just, we've tried over incarceration. That has not helped at all. We've tried, you know, there's a line of people who want to give police more funding. You know, that's a debate worth having, but they are already very heavily funded, and almost no place in the country have they been, you know, had that funding taken away. And, you know, in some places like where I live, like they are deeply problematic organizations. So there are a lot of ways to address crime, but they're not talking about any of them. They're not talking about healthcare, education, better wages, union organizing, access to abortion, all of these things which are shown to benefit people and prevent crime. Republicans have no interest in talking about.
No,
And again, it takes me back to the old days where if I were still anchoring the 6 and 10 o'clock news right now, I don't know how I could resist coming out of a piece and saying, did you hear any solutions in there? I didn't hear anything. But then I wouldn't have that job for very much longer. So it's probably good to be here. Kia Vakil, national correspondent for Courier Newsroom, joining us from Los Angeles. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to start off the next segment with a group spending $1 million against Tim Michels in Wisconsin, a group of anti-Trump Republicans. We'll talk about that next. You're up north.
States, moms and women mostly, who are talking about.
North News with Pat Kreitlow.
Sometimes I surprise myself, which is, you know, what old men do from time to time. I put Nancy Sinatra's These Boots Were Made for Walking a few hours ago now, waking up too early, and was going to look up and have some fun with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and his white boots that he wore while surveying hurricane damage in Florida. And, I don't think we're going to have time to get into that. I'll just refer people to not only the photo, but the photoshops that have resulted from it, to see a photoshop of Governor DeSantis in thigh high white leather boots is pretty impressive. I got to say, I'm not that creative with Photoshop.
No, I can't Photoshop to save my life. I'm outing myself here as a bad graphic designer, but that photo and those memes, it's incredible.
There, yeah, you could see it come. As soon as you saw the first photo, you're like, okay, here goes Twitter, off to the races. So I told you I wanted to tell you about a national group spending money here in Wisconsin just to see if there's much for anti-Trump Republican voices in other states. And this story comes from our friends over at the Wisconsin Examiner. Henry Redman posted the story this week talking about how the Republican Accountability PAC, which is tied to a national group run by Bill Kristol and Sarah Longwell, is spending about $1 million to run ads in Wisconsin against Tim Michels. They published for the anti-Trump media outlet, The Bulwark, which was started by Charlie Sykes. They feature Wisconsin Republicans explaining why they believe Tim Michels is too extreme. And of course, they focus on democracy. And so Sarah Longwell says, Tim Michels is an election denier who is too extreme to govern, someone who can't say if they'd certify the results of the 2024 election clearly, cannot be allowed anywhere near power, and we're going to make sure he never is. And then finally, the Republican Accountability PAC is running ads against Republican candidates in swing states across the country, including Arizona, Georgia, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Again, this was the first I've heard of it, and I can't really say that the number of anti-Trump Republican voices has grown in Wisconsin from near zero. But I just wanted to see if you had any different sentiment in some of the other states you cover.
I think it varies state to state, but I think in general, what's true is at this point in time, 7 years past when he declared his candidacy, I think there are very few quote unquote anti-Trump Republicans. In the Senate, there's Mitt Romney and that's it. In the House, I think there's going to be two or three people who impeached him who are left in terms of voters. I think anyone who opposed Trump and was a Republican is now probably consider themselves an independent. And so they are probably already firmly in a Democratic camp or, maybe on the fence. And so I think that's not to say that this isn't a worthwhile venture. I think some of these groups that are designed to appeal to former Republicans or maybe present Republicans, I think that's important work because part of winning elections is persuasion. We can certain minds, in the progressive movement think it's all about, turnout and getting non-voters to vote. And that's hugely important. Obviously, America needs way more people to vote. That's our whole mission at Courier, is to get more people voting. But, if in Wisconsin, it's a true swing state. It is the most competitive state in the country, pretty much every single election. And so, I do think, it's worth doing that because there might, even if you only get a couple thousand people or a couple hundred people, it can come down to that. In the scheme of political ads, $1 million is a lot to any of us as individual people. That's a ton of money that I will probably never see in my lifetime. But in terms of TV ads, it's not that much. So it's a little bit of a drop in the bucket, but Tim Michels is extreme. And so having people who are Republican voters or Republican officials say that might give Republican voters sort of a pathway to not voting for him. You know, they may not listen to a progressive Democrat like, you know, Mark Pocan. They might not listen to Tony Evers. But if it's from someone who they identify with more, you know, that might convince them.
Kiev Akil joins us, national correspondent for Courier Newsroom from Los Angeles. And here's the thing. We have in Tim Michaels and in Ron Johnson two people whose positions very much put them in the extreme part of the Republican Party, which is a big part of the party these days. And yet neither one is mentioned in one of your tweets from yesterday that says Donald Trump has quite an eye for talent. You got to hand it to him. Masters, Oz, Mastriano, Walker, Dixon, Caramo, DiPerno, all quite likely to lose what are winnable seats. Even Vance and Lake are in danger, and we won't get into all of them in all these states, Michigan, Arizona, and whatnot. But the fact that, you know, Wisconsin's far right-wing folks didn't get in there tells you just how much more colorful, I guess is the right word, these races are in some of these other states.
Yeah. You know, for one thing, as like unpopular as Ron Johnson's positions are, as questionable as his record is, and as unpopular as he is, frankly, if you look at any polling, he predates Donald Trump. And Ron Johnson was always going to be Ron Johnson. And I don't think Trump, I don't know that Trump has much impact on him. Obviously, Tim Michaels is only the nominee because Trump endorsed him. But I also think there's a world, Tim Michaels ran before Trump. He is the sort of, he is one of those, you know, country club Republicans that has tried to twist himself into a MAGA Republican. Whereas some of those people I mentioned in other states, those people are like so far out of left field and have some truly like extreme positions. You know, Doug Mastriano he's running to be the governor of, I believe, the fifth biggest state in the nation, my home state in Pennsylvania. And he is as fringe a gubernatorial candidate as has been nominated in my lifetime. And in Michigan, the entire Republican slate, you know, Kyle mentioned those races aren't that close because of, you know, they don't have solutions. It's also because they nominated a bunch of wing nuts. And so in Wisconsin, Michaels and Johnson can kind of, they are at least trying to position themselves to like moderate voters. Whereas in a lot of these states, that's not even an effort that's happening.
No, it's not. And if there's any hint of hypocrisy or a dump truck full of hypocrisy, you know, too many voters are willing to wave it off, which of course takes us to Georgia, where, you know, we don't have an outlet there, but we have a very important Senate race there. And you have, you know, a past football star and future, you know, brain research exhibit, Herschel Walker is, I said it before today, I'm going to say it again, I'm sure. I hate these moments when there's no right word to come out and your jaw is down. Herschel Walker, who is against all abortions, no exceptions, rape, incest, life of the mother. It's revealed that he paid for a girlfriend's abortion. And then when he denied it, the girlfriend kind of came out more and said, yeah, it's me. And by the way, I'm the father of one of your children as well. And I'm guessing you look at this more, but is the needle still relatively close on that race as he runs against incumbent Democratic senator and Christian pastor Warnock?
Yeah, unfortunately it is. And I think that speaks to the real toxicity and just depressing state of politics in America right now. You know, everyone thought the Access Hollywood tape would end Trump, and it didn't. Everyone, you know, Roy Moore only lost by a couple percentage points. You know, it's Alabama. I understand it's one of the most Republican states in the country, but the man was a literal child molester. And, you know, I think this is another one of those things where, you know, Herschel Walker is one of the worst candidates to run for a statewide seat that I can remember. He is, you know, you know, he may genuinely have brain trauma from football, and I feel sympathy for that. That's horrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've lost track of how many. Having control over their own body, unless it benefits him very specifically. He can't even get through an interview, you know, really. He's a mess. And there's, you know, he's still within the margin of error in most polls. And I think you know, whether or not this story breaks through is going to be, you know, the media is covering it, but on some level, Democrats have to talk about it if they want it to break through. You know, Raphael Warnock, he's a great senator by any measure. He has done a lot in the last 2 years, and he's a pastor. You know, I'm sure part of his team's, you know, campaign aura is like he's above the fray, and there's a case to be made for that. But then someone else has to take the mantle of making this an actual issue in that race, because if no politician's talking about it, the media will stop talking about it. That's just how it works. If there's not conflict, the media is not going to care. And that's, you know, a bad incentive, but that's the world we live in right now. And so in any sane world, that would have ended his campaign. You know, if you have his own son coming out against him, who's like a right-wing influencer, his son, Christian. And yet we'll see. We'll see if it registers in the polls. I am not so pessimistic to think it won't matter. I think it will matter a little bit, but how much it matters and if it actually, you know, makes a huge difference is kind of up to Democrats at this point, is my, in my mind.
Well, and it definitely gets back to our own origin story of why we have Courier Newsroom and Up North News and all of our state-based outlets, and why you have, you know, we talked about the Wisconsin Examiner and others who are out of the legacy media lane and able to, you know, call it as we see it a little bit more. And not to, I won't drag the whole conversation back to crime, but I realized I made a note that I forgot to share with folks on the subject. When you talking about the media and their failures, you put up a graph showing that how the majority of Americans who report they believe crime has increased has gone up nearly every year from 1990 to 2020. In reality, violent crime fell during all but seven of those years, and property crime fell during all but two. So crime rates have been coming down, but the percentage of Americans who believe crime has gone up continues to climb each year. And I mean, your note says it all. It says our media has utterly failed us. And I'm not saying we're the only answer. I'm just saying you and I are definitely in agreement. The media has to do better covering these races.
Yeah, it's one of the most depressing factoids I've ever come across, because, and it's not news. There's been some version of that, you know, over the years. And, you know, when you ask people how they feel about crime in their neighborhood, they're like, oh, you know, I feel safe. And but then you feel, when you ask them how they feel about crime in the country, they say, oh, it's a huge problem. There's literal data showing that. And that's the only thing that can be a result of is two things. It's one, it's politicians fear-mongering, and two, media outlets both covering that fear-mongering and amplifying it and doing their own fear-mongering. Because, you know, there's that old adage, if it bleeds, it leads. And unfortunately, that's true. As humans, we have a morbid desire for, you know, the dark and the violent, you know, whether or not most of us will never do a violent thing in our life, but we are attracted. It's why true crime is so popular. It's why every, you know, and that's another thing is I think all but one or two of the top 20 TV shows that are not, or that are scripted, are crime related. Our cop shows, our FBI shows, our lawyer, like this country just, and our media, whether it's Hollywood or journalism, is obsessed with it. And so of course, if you're a voter, you're going to think that crime has gone up because it's all you're seeing and all the content you're watching or reading is about crime, even though in reality, it's gone way down from, you know, when I was a kid and the 1980s, which, you know, I wasn't alive, but there's my cat. I wasn't alive in the 1980s yet, but, you know, it was a huge issue in a lot of places. Yes. And to think that people think it's gone up is, you know, I think it's an indictment of our media, and I don't know the solution. I think you have to remove profit motive from it is the only possible solution to my mind, because if all you're going to do is chase clicks and views and keep people coming back to watch, scaring them does that. Fox News has proved that.
In the minute we have left, Kia, what kind of stories are you working on that we might see next?
Yeah, so I've been spending the last week or so, among the things I've been doing is interviewing voters across our newsrooms in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, in Arizona. I just interviewed a woman in Wisconsin yesterday who's actually running the Moms for Mandela grassroots volunteer group. So I'm going to be sort of diving through those interviews, creating videos from them, and just trying to, you know, highlight voters.
Yeah, and that's I think can't be done enough. Enough punditry, except for you every couple of weeks here. We appreciate that so much. Kiev Akil, thank you. Great to see you again.
You too. Thanks, Pat.
All right. Well, as so many people in corporate America say, I'll see you on Slack.
Yes, I will.
That's how America communicates these days. And we will be back to wrap up the show after this. You're up north. Walk all over you.
Are you ready, Boots? Start walking.
On Thursday's Up North News radio show, we talked about what can knock Democrats off message just 33 days until an election. Answer, fellow Democrats whining to the New York Times. That message should be more about Republicans attacking women's health rights, and that was echoed by our own Kristen Lierley at the White House this week. She talks about being a part of the presidential task force on women's reproductive health rights. She also interviewed two more women about their races for seats in the legislature. We talked to a colleague from Michigan who said the reason that Republicans are falling short there is they're not actually proposing anything. They're still trying to relive 2020. And we talked to Kiev Akil, our national correspondent, about trends in other states. Coming up on Friday's program, we'll have Mark Jacob, formerly of the Chicago Tribune and Sun-Times, break down how the media is covering elections so far. Carolyn Fiddler, Courier Newsroom political editorial director, will join us, as she does each Friday. And we'll talk to another Courier Newsroom colleague, Cam Stevenson, from the Arizona Copper Courier, about the tone of politics there. Plus more fun stuff. We got to have fun stuff, but we got the news too. Every morning, 8 to 11, right here.
All right.
Look at that. Look at our little on-air experiment. It's just...
We're trying it out, folks. We're trying it out. That's what we're doing.
You know, you got to take these things for a ride and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Maybe we just need to let's gloss this up even more. And as soon as I finish, you just jump right in.
Okay.
And say, okay. And coming up later on these, I hope Aaron's got the music ready. Coming up later on the civic media empire of stations. And then we hear all about, you know, Chad Holmes and Kristen Bry and Crute and Luke Bryan or Luke and Brian. Sorry, I gotta get that right.
Yeah. See, yeah. Now oh. I sent you some information last night, and you said in little quote in the what are those called? They're not carrots.
Brackets.
The yeah. Q Galactic Empire music, and I'm thinking about it. Yes, we are kind of building an empire here, but we're much more like the Rebel Alliance than we are the Galactic Empire, because really, there's 81 right-wing talk radio stations here in the state of Wisconsin, and so we are building this rebel alliance of stations, because I personally view myself more as, like, the good guys in the movie than the bad guys. but yes, we
are
expanding
this empire. I agree with everything that you just said. It's just that we are in fact building an empire, and the good guys don't have nearly as powerful an orchestral introduction. And sure, then I can't again come back to the image of Crudy in a black cape, you know, storming down the hallway, breathing heavily. So it is totally for comedic purposes alone, and not that we aren't very much the Rebel Alliance that we are. So you, Mr. Solo, you go right ahead.
Well, I see.
Kind of get that Han Solo appearance to you, and Aaron is. Aaron, you want to be our Chewbacca, or?
Brian's going to be our Chewbacca.
Oh, yeah, I can do that better if I'm not trying to.
That was
not blow
pretty
out
good,
a microphone.
Aaron. That was pretty good. Brian will be upset though that he's not Chewbacca. Brian would absolutely like to be Chewy.
All right.
So we'll have to see what we can do to find out who gets to choose Chewbacca.
I like we're casting civic media now. This is good.
I'm the kid without his homework today after hearing your excellent slate of guests from today and tomorrow. And I'm going to preview Kristen's excellent slate of guests coming up on As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry across the fine network of stations we're putting together. Because I don't have any great guests to promote for Dueling Tangents, besides the fact that it is going to be Luke and Brian together on the air today. So the yesterday we had hoped for it, but there was some timing that really worked out and allowed us to get everything done for the launch of WISS in Oshkosh.
Oh my goodness, we haven't even said hello to Oshkosh.
We haven't even said hello yet. Come on, what have you guys been doing?
We did during
did
one
you
of the
not
breaks.
Just say we've had a busy show with guests?
I did. Well, you let me know how busy the show was. But yes, we got everything lined up. So Brian was unable to be on the show yesterday for Dueling Tangents because Oshkosh now has a little air support with Oshkosh Air Support, the brand new civic media station in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, streaming at 98.3 FM, 1100 AM. And so brand new station. Brian didn't get
air
to
support.
Join
air support is Oshkosh the name of the, air support. Of the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Oshkosh Air Support. I only say that because when he sent me the logo last night to incorporate into some of our radio products, it was cut off because I've got so many tabs open on my screen. All I saw was air and SUP. And I honestly, because it's one of my wife's favorite groups, I thought we were naming it Air Supply.
That's all Brian can think about.
That we were just going to be playing oldies, you know, when we weren't doing news talk.
Brian has been singing a lot of Air Supply as he has worked on putting together everything that needed to be put together for this fine new station. And so there probably will be some Air Support played during Dueling Tangents today. But before that, we have As Goes Wisconsin, and Kristen also has a jam-packed show. So it's Thursday. Dr. Mike's going to help you fix your life and your fantasy football lineups. She's also going to have on Maggie Ginsburg, author of Still True, talking about alcoholism here in Wisconsin. At 12:30, he's making his rounds across civic media this week. Been on pretty much all of the shows, Pat, besides yours, I think. And that would be Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. So he was on Dueling Tangents earlier this week. He was on Chad Holmes yesterday. And so Dan Schaefer will be joining, talking a little bit more about the legislative breakdown that he is doing at the Recombobulation Area with Kristen at 12:30. Leah Spicer, who's a candidate for the 51st Assembly District, will also join Kristen. And then at 1:30, she's going to be joined by Third Space Breweries, Matt Sis, C-I-S-Z. So I don't know if it's Sis or Sis, but Matt is going to be talking about the Third Space New Beer 1 in 4, which is an IPA. And I believe, I actually don't know what the details is, but 1 in 4 is the new beer that Third Space has. That he'll be talking with Kristen. So if you want to learn about that beer, you're going to for sure want to tune in to As Goes Wisconsin at 1:30 this afternoon. But listen to the whole show, 11 to 2.
Let me come back to Dan Schaefer and the man crush that I have on him. Because the reason he's making all these rounds is because he's basically a one-man industry. And he is working it. And I remember he tweeted somewhere about it a few days back, just something like work, 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 you know, the marketing. Oh, there it is. Hashtag marketing, hashtag grind, hashtag entrepreneur life. You know, he's just making it happen. Mm-hmm. And we are thrilled because he's such a great reporter. He's such a great writer. He's got great takes on social media. So why wouldn't you want it? So we will say again, to help an entrepreneur out, subscribe to the Recombobulation Area and donate. Pay for it, too.
Yeah, pay for it. I am a paid subscriber on Substack, so you can definitely do that. And I do have some more homework because Chad Holmes just let us know that today from 2 to 4, he's going to be talking with Nick Okwig. Okwig? Excuse me. I'm terrible with names. This is like spelling and names are literally my Achilles heel. But Nick is from the Wausau Center for Wisconsin, CVB. I'm not quite sure what CVB is.
Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Oh, look at that. Pat, you're on
top. And look
top
at that. And we really got to work on pronouncers. That's literally our job in radio, is to pronounce the words.
I find so
as Jimmy would say, if we couldn't laugh, we would all go insane. Thank you. See you tomorrow.